Star Churches in Uruguay, and just tell you a little bit something about Uruguay this morning. Uruguay has about probably 17 states, 17 departments, and actually what they have is probably in about 8 or 9 departments, states, we call, they have Baptist churches, but the other rest, they don't have fundamental Bible-believing churches there. So it's a burden, it's a lot of need in Uruguay. Uruguay is considered the most secular country in South America. People in Uruguay, they're not interested for spiritual things. They're more secular. They're atheists. They don't care about spiritual things. So it's a lot of needs in Uruguay. It's a lot of opportunities to serve the Lord in Uruguay. So we trust that tonight you will make it the four to be here, and we will show you a video, DVD, about the country, about what we're going to be doing there. But so be in prayer that the Lord will use people in Uruguay to bring the gospel to those who never heard it before. This morning I want to share something with you, and I was thinking about, I see the map over there, you know, you have a lot of missionaries, you know, and sometimes we pray specifically for missionaries. When they send the prayer letters, we pray what they ask. Some people pray, you know, pray for such and such a name, you know, that I'm praying for to people get saved. But, you know, this morning I was thinking, you know, in this, what is the role of the local church in missions? Lately, I've been reading a book about missions we probably hear about. It's called For the Sake of His Name. And it's written by a man called Dave Doran in Pennsylvania. And so it was a blessing to see, you know, how he was displaying how as a church, as a body of believers, we can pray more effectively for our missionaries. And this morning I want to draw your attention to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 14. And we're going to read that just only 2 verses here. Acts 26 and 27. We're going to be studying a few things this morning about prayer. What is the role of the local church in worldwide missions? What is our part as a church, as a body of believers? And we see here, you know, in verse 26, says, and then sailed to Antioch from whence they had been, recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come, and they had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God has done with them, and how he has opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. So let's have a word of prayer before we start studying God's word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy in our lives, and we thank you that we can gather together this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we can have this morning in America. We thank you, Lord, in those men that sacrifice their lives, Lord, for thee, for the country. And we thank you, Lord, for them, and we pray today that especially for those that are right now in the battle, be with them, Lord. Just protect them. And I also pray for the families, Lord, the men, the families lost, men in the war. Just pray that you will be with them. Give a special blessing today. We pray now that you give us understanding. Help us, Lord, to comprehend your word this morning. Give us a heart for missions. We would ask those things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I really believe, folks, that prayer is really vital in our lives as believers, you know. But also I believe, you know, that prayer is crucial in the life of the local church. In fact, there are many references in the scripture that the Apostle Paul was encouraging another man to be in prayer. He told the Thessalonians, like you know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, pray without what? Ceasing. Pray constantly, folks. We need to pray constantly. This is what Paul was saying. You know, and then also it's interesting that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he was telling to Timothy, Timothy, make supplications, be in prayer for all men. So it's very important that we need to be in prayer But you know, many times we get busy with praying, you know, and it's good. It's a good thing to be busy in prayer. You know, we pray for so many things. We probably in prayer meeting, we have a list of people that we're praying for, you know. But I really, this morning, want to share three things specifically that as a local church, as a body of believers here, we need to be in prayer for worldwide missions. Well, what are those three things? Well, first of all, we need to pray for the supply of the missionaries. We need to pray for the supply of the missionaries. The first area of missionary prayer that should take our attention is pray that the Lord will supply men and women with desire to go into the mission field. Where do we see the basis for this prayer? Well, let's go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 is a verse of scripture that you probably read before, you heard before preach. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 36. Say, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad, as a sheep having no shepherd. Then say he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. We find three incentives here to pray in that way. Say, Lord, please supply missionaries. And Christ is interesting, you know, when he went over the city, he saw the multitudes. So what is he talking here? Why do we need to pray that God will send missionaries out? Three things he found here. First of all, we see the seriousness of the problem. It was a serious problem. When Christ walked over and saw the multitude, what the Bible said? He fell in what? What? Compassion. He fell with compassion. When he saw the people, say his Christ was moving to compassion. Well, why? Because it was a serious problem. When he saw the people, he realized it was a problem with the multitude. But what was the problem? What was the problem? What we see here in verse 36 says, he was moved with compassion on them because what? People what? Fainted. They have distress. So what does it mean that people faint? They have distress. As a person doing extreme sorrow or distress, people been worrying. That was the word there. People were so stressful. And when Christ saw what was the situation there, he saw there is a problem here. That's why I have compassion, because I see their need. I see their people in stress. So if we come to our time today, when we go out, folks, and when we see most of the people today out there in the city, what do we see in them? People are in the same situation today, are they? They are distressed. You see today, you talk to someone today, just go and talk to one of the businessmen in New York City, in Wall Street, and tell, hey, how is your finances going? They're so afraid what is going to happen with the economy. A lot of people today are very afraid what is going to happen in the country, in America. So we don't have to, you know, go that far. You go another country, and people are afraid too. What is going to happen? It's going to affect to us too? I mean, you talk to people in South America, you know, they are wondering what's going to happen too. But you know, folks, here, Christ, when he went to the people, he saw it was a serious problem. People are in distress. Then people, in verse 30, in verse 36, they fainted and they were scattered abroad. Literally means being thrown down. People are neglected. The people that should care for the multitude, they don't even care. The Pharisees who need to teach the people, they never taught them. And you know, when Christ saw that, you know, he saw nobody care for them. The people are in stress. So who's going to care for them? And in the same situation, folks, today, there are many people out there that are teaching false teaching. But we, as believers, we have the Word of God. And then we need to teach them the Word of God. And you know, when we see the people, we can see that there is a serious problem out there. in this world, in this time, right now, because there are people in the streets, people are neglected by others. And also, they have no shepherd, verse 36, having no shepherd. The Pharisees offer religion, the added burden, instead of listening to them. And you know, really when you go out today and you hear so many movements, I don't know if you heard lately about this emerging church. Probably heard that new movement now going on out there. You know, how many people, you know, I've been teaching those wrong things in the scripture. You know, and people, because nobody get to them with the true word of God, they have been teaching anything. You know, or even though when you go out of the countries, you know, they have not the opportunity yet to hear God's word. And Christ, when he went over the multitude, he saw it was a serious problem. People are in distress, people are scattered abroad, people, nobody cares for the multitude, and then also they have no shepherd. Nobody's teaching them. We have the word of God. If we are not teaching them, who's going to teach them? Who's going to teach them? That's why it's very important that we need to be in prayer about, say, Lord, I can't go certain part of the world. I can't go there. But at least use my prayer to send someone that will be close to the place, send someone that have desire to go places. You know, as a human being, sometimes we think, you know, I never will go that place. You know, I have friends in Vanuatu, which is Fiji Islands. You know, when you look at the map, you know, Australia, cross Fiji Island, those islands where nobody knows where they are out there. You know, and he was telling me things that he was going through. You know, malaria. One time he was crossing the river to go over the other island. The river almost swallowed his wife and almost killed his wife. You know, all kind of missionary stories that you can hear, he has it. And I was thinking to myself, you know, there are places really that the Lord has to call you to go there. You know, the Lord hasn't called me to go there. You know, but that is our job, that is our opportunity to be in prayer, say, Lord, please send someone out there because it's a serious problem in that country. It's a serious problem here in Eden, New York. There are many people that they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ yet. So our job, our responsibility as believer, being involved in the local church, is I want to be in prayer that God will raise young people, young girls, any kind of people that will go and to speak to them. And then second thing that we see here, the second incentive, is not only the serious problem, but also the size of the harvest. Christ is telling here in verse 38 and 37, then say he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now we see that the Lord is changing pictures here. He is from the flock into a farm. You know, he's talking about shepherding, and then out now he's going to the farm. And he looked out and probably have the picture, you know, when he said to disciples, look up here, lift up your eyes and see what it is. It's huge. Folks, if, let's see, I'm trying to think. The point higher in the world, if I can take you to the highest point in the world, and a mount there, and I know the name in Spanish what it is, but I don't know in English, but the highest mount in the world, and I can take you there, and we can look at it, the entire world, we can see this earth is huge. And when we think about, you know, when Christ saw, you know, the farm, when he saw, he say, the harvest is plenteous. The harvest is plenteous. Christ saw a base opportunity. There's a lot of opportunities. When we think in this world, 6.6 billion people live in this country. 6.6 billion. Only probably a little bit over 50%, they already heard the gospel. But the other rest, they haven't yet. I would say a year ago, it was the Olympics. You remember when we had the Olympics? When all the countries walked in this opening ceremony, they walked in. And you see those men with the flags. Countries probably that I never heard before. There are countries out there that probably I never heard. There was one athlete walking with his flag, proud about it. you know, walking in, and I thought, Lord, they might, and they say population of such and such a country, 20, 25, 30, 50, 100, you know. I was wondering, Lord, I hope that someone will go there someday. You know, but maybe then they might not have the opportunity to hear the gospel. When we think, you know, the dimension of the harvest is huge. That's why we need to pray that God will send people to those places out there that they never heard the gospel before. Someone say, let me look at on the crown as my Savior did, till my eyes with tears ground in. Let me view with pity the wandering sheep and love them for the love of Him. If we can see the world today, folks, through Christ's eyes, we will have a completely different perspective of this. And this is what, as believers, we get involved. This is what, as believers, we get participating. We need to pray. Lord, it's a serious problem, and also the harvest is huge, it's plenteous. There's a lot of opportunities. You don't have to go another country to see the need. When I tell you something, when I was in college, a professor told me, you're never going to go to China, guys. You're never going to go to be a missionary in China if you don't go across your street. You don't go across your neighbor. You know, when you don't have to go to Uruguay, you don't have to go to Argentina, you don't have to go to other countries, just cross out your neighbor and you will see the need right there. Maybe someone in your family doesn't know the Lord. That is a mission field that the Lord say, I want you. I want to use you. And this is a serious problem, the size of the harvest. And then, number three, we see the short age of the workers. He was telling here, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Laborers are few. And it's interesting, you know, that many times we confuse. We never see the Lord saying, please give to the Lord of the harvest. He never say that. It's part of the missions, give, you know, but He say here, what is the first word in verse 38? What is the first word? He asking something, yes. Pray. Pray. And as believers, we need to really get serious about prayer that the Lord will send, because there are not many workers. And when He saw, you know, He saw, this is huge. The harvest is huge. But we need workers. You know, folks, I'm very afraid today. You know, America used to be the country many years ago that would send more missionaries around the world. Did you know how many missionaries do we have around the world sending now from the States? Just guess a number. Around the world, without just counting, you know, the fundamental Baptist missionaries around the world, how many you think that we have around the world? How much? 300? A little bit higher. 2,000? 5,000. We have only 10,000 around the world. You know, today when you go to Christian colleges, you know, and when you see kids going out of school, you ask them, so what do you want to do? They don't know. It was a time in this country that it was a really revival. People were in fire for the Lord. And today it doesn't happen that anymore. And that's why we need to really encourage our young people today. We need to pray for them that the Lord, they will surrender lives for the Lord. We see today, you know, young people waste their lives going out. You know, and say they don't want to live for the Lord, but the Lord wants to use them. The Lord wants to use you. The Lord wants to use them too. But that's why, you know, He say here, the workers are few. There are not enough people to bring into the harvest. And without workers, the people, they're not going to get saved. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I like this verse with Paul quote here to the Romans in chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise right there. But how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without who? A preacher. That is the secret right there. None of the other things can be accomplished if the preacher never gets to them. And it's interesting here, you know, say, who is going to teach them? Who are they going to hear without a preacher? That's why, as a local church, you say, Lord, please send missionaries out, because a serious problem, because the size of the harvest is huge, and then because they are just show workers. We need more people out there. We need more people. Maybe we can go, but I can be involved here in my town. I can go to my people here in my town. But for those that are out there in the world, I can pray that God will send them out. And God will use that. God will use that. Second thing that we see here, not only we need to pray for the supply of the missionaries, we also need to pray for the success of the missionary message. We need to pray for the success of the missionary message. So what do you mean, have a full church completely with 150 people? No, this is not what he's talking about. Let's go to the 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We see the Apostle Paul, he once again asking for prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. He concludes his letter here to the Thessalonians, and he says to them, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Pray for us. This is the prayer that many times we heard. This verse provides us a powerful hope of a dynamic work of God through the ministry of the word. He was saying, you know, folks, pray for us that the word of God will have a free course. So what does that mean, have a free course? Well, in the Greek sentence there in the New Testament, the idea is when the athlete start running for the Olympics, start running this race, having free course, meaning when he's running on the track, nobody will come and interfere this man that he might accomplish the goal. And you know, when we go to the mission field, folks, he's praying that, please, that the word of God have a free course, that nobody will be a hindrance on the way. And you know, many times that can happen easily. There are many circumstances in every country around the world that Satan can use those things to the word of God never get a free course. In fact, let me tell you, I can say, you know, when you go to Uruguay, you know, one of the hindrances, people there, they don't see the needs for spiritual things. They are very apathetic. Maybe, perhaps, you know, when you go to a country like China, well, what do they suffer in there? Persecution. You know, there are many countries out there that we can think about this morning, you know, that they can have a hindrance. But Paul says, please pray for us that we might have an opportunity to talk. And when we have that opportunity to talk to someone, the word of God will have a free course, and then we'll be glorified. Is it not nice, folks, when you get a letter from the missionaries and they say, we praise the Lord because such and such got saved. Praise the Lord. Because the word of God was having free course and also it was glorified in the end. We see this. Let me read a few verses. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In the Apostle Paul, we see, you know, his ministry was only under attack. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20. Verse 18 says, pray always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. Verse 19, Ephesians 6:19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the ministry of the gospel. When I open my mouth to the people, and pray for me, folks, that I can really speak the power of God and people will get saved. This is what Paul was saying to them. He was requesting, folks, please pray. When I have an opportunity to meet with someone, the heart will be ready and then the word will be glorified. This is what he was praying about. Are we praying in that way today? Are we praying in that way? We need to pray that missionaries have a success. We don't send missionaries out to have vacation out there. No. We send missionaries out to do the work of the ministry, to preach the word of God, to start churches. But if some places are so hard to start out, that's why, as a body of believers, it's our role involvement. As I pray, Lord, when they speak, bring in opportunities. You know, sometimes when you go to another country for the first time, you know, you see it's hard to start out, you know, and we need to pray that the Lord will bring those contacts to you, that you have an opportunity to speak out. You know, but this is what Paul was praying here, to say, please pray to go and the word will run swiftly without any interruptions. We must pray fervently that the word spread rapidly and be glorified. Pray for the supply of the missionaries, pray for the spread of the gospel. And then at last we see pray for the safety of the missionaries. We need to pray for the safety of the missionaries. We see this in the verse 2 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 2, he says, and that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Pray for us that the word will be spread, but also pray that we might be delivered from those wicked men. You know, let me tell you, I have a few missionaries friends of mine that they are in different mission fields. And I heard this one, the lady, it was in China. Did you know in China now they don't persecute people with a gun in their head and say, we're going to kill you if you preach the gospel? Do you know what they do in China now? Well, what they do is when they cut a missionary preaching the gospel under the ground, they say this. Now, we're not going to kill you because we are good people here in China. What we're going to do is we're going to cut the power supply of this entire building where 300 families live. And they're not going to have water, they're not going to have electricity for about 3 months. And when the people ask him, what is going on with the power, what happened with food, what happened with electricity, we will tell them, this because of you, because you're preaching the gospel. Can you imagine? You have 300 families with kids, and they cannot have a power electricity, they can have food, they can have nothing. And when they point, everybody point to you, because of this guy here, because of this guy here, what a pressure. What would you do? That's the kind of the situation they're facing in China. You know, I mean, we need to pray for the safety of the missionaries. Years ago, a friend of mine in Uruguay, when it was 9/11, when it happened 9/11 here in America, this missionary friend of mine was in Uruguay, he's American, a man, 2 o'clock, knocked on the door. My friend went out, and this guy had a knife. And I said, I want to kill you. And today, all the American people should be killed. Can you imagine if someone like that would want to kill you? I mean, there, sometimes, you know, we are here, you know, we're busy on things, you know, we are not even thinking, you know, and safety for the missionaries out there. Safety is very important for the missionary life. I mean, if you have a missionary hurt or being persecuted, how this man is supposed to accomplish the task he's supposed to do. You know, sometimes it's very important be in prayer, you know, for those kind of things. And Paul says here, please be in prayer that we might be delivered from those wicked men. And Paul, he was always constantly being under attack for wicked men. I can tell you, you know, even though the Apostle Paul in Romans, in 1 Corinthians, many times he say, we were close to death. When he was this sheep, and he's going to rock and he's going to fall, you know, he would say, we were so close to death. We need to pray also, you know, for the health of the missionaries. You know, it's very important, you know, if you get a malaria or you get any kind of sick out there in those countries, you know, that they are not really sophisticated. You know, you get a man out of the pulpit for 3 months. In some cases, missionaries have to get back to the States, recover, and then go back there. It's very important to be and prayer for the safety of the missionaries. There is a mysterious element to God's work in this area. He has chosen prayer as a means by He deliver and protect. The local church must be involved actively in missionary prayers. This is the power supply of the work done in the field. Let me put this illustration, what he say here. If I have a power cord here, okay, and I plug it right here now, and I'm going to the mission field myself, you right now, you will be the cord here, the power cord, and you plug, you are praying. When I go in the field, you know, if you unplug that cord, basically you are shutting down your prayers. And when we are not praying for the missionaries that we have there, basically we are unplugging the cord here, and the power supply shut down. And if we are not praying, the task, it won't be done. So it's very important as believers today, be very involved in this specific area of prayer by your missionaries. Lord, pray that you will send missionaries out, that the war will be successful, and then protect them, giving them safety as a minister in their country. And trust that will be an encouragement to you to pray specifically for the missionaries that you have right now, you know, but also the Lord will get in your heart, you know, to pray for those that will go there and other countries. And so if you have any questions about it, you know, you can ask me afterwards. I think it's time to study the other one, and Lord bless you. Thank you.